Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yeah. Ready? Let's get it.
I'm telling you why, you can see in their eyes, them boys ain't playing, they ready to ride. Shaking the tunnel, just screaming and yelling, if you ain't ready, you get eaten alive. Taking the field with loads of passion, swagging out with the flyest fashions. Cameras out and they steady flashing, captains out, we about to get it cracking. Full aggression in between those lines, you boys, we about to ride. We're a band of brothers and we stick together like an army mission when it's wartime. We stacking them W's, pay attention, opponents coming with apprehension. We stay on top of our division, we're from BCS buses to playoff contenders.
Rise up. Now the boys mad. We have to tighten them boys up. We here for the crown. We on the rise up. Now the boys mad. We have to tighten them boys up. We here for the crown.
Welcome, Utah football fans. Here we are, another podcast, and I just can't even stand the way we have to start this podcast. It is... I'm at a loss for words, to be honest. I think everybody is. I can't fathom that we're going through this again within 9 months of each other. And obviously I'm talking about the loss of Aaron Lowe over the weekend, the night after our game on Saturday. And we still don't have a lot of answers, and hopefully we'll get some more answers. But the fact is that we've lost another player. And in the way we lost him is horrible and horrific, and my heart is just breaking for his family, for our Utah football family. The fact that our team is going through this again is just unfathomable.
Yeah, I woke up on Sunday and I'm checking Twitter and it was like, this is deja vu. I could not believe that I had to turn to my wife and say, we lost it. Another Utah football player. I mean, it was just crazy. And for those of you who don't know, Aaron and Ty Jordan were best friends. They played the same high school together.
Yeah.
They both came to Utah. Aaron won the Ty Jordan scholarship this year, which is awarded to one of the players. And as part of that scholarship, you have the honor of wearing number 22 in honor of Ty. So it's just, I'm with you. I'm at a loss for words. It breaks my heart that his family, and this team, the things that these guys have had to go through at this point, I can't even, if you've ever been on a team that's close knit, I mean, it really is a brotherhood. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And everything I've heard about Aaron was that he was just a great dude. Everyone, not even just the players, but the staff, the coaches, Maddie Ford, who does all the social media stuff. She had an amazing tweet about how he just lit up a room. And it makes me so sick and so sad that this is how we have to start this podcast.
Yeah, well said. Not much I can add to that. I just second what both of you just said. I just have been extremely sad about it. Senseless. Like you said, we don't know all the details, but nevertheless, it's still a senseless death. of such a nice, great young man, so much in front of him, it's tragedy, and it breaks my heart. So rest in peace, Aaron, and all our best to his family, all our best to his close friends, and then, of course, to his teammates and brothers and Utah Nation. We're all part of his family, so our condolences and rest in peace.
I do want to say one thing. Utah football fans as a whole, bravo. There was a GoFundMe account that was set up for Aaron. And it, at this point, I think it just closed. It has $25,000 that have been donated. Bravo to Ute fans. I am sure that there are Cougar fans, that there were Aggie fans, non-football related people that donated to this. And so thank you to everybody. You know, those things are, it's really heartwarming that people can come together in a situation like this. Cause the last thing you want to have to think about is financials. Mm-hmm. So great job, to the Utah family and to those who donated. Thank you. Bravo.
Well, and I do feel like, you know, we're here to talk about Utah football. That's what we do. But when things like this happen, it really puts a lot of it into perspective. You know, we get on here, we bitch about how the game went and things like that. And in the grand scheme of things, yes, we love Utah football, but this man's life means way more than that. And obviously I know there will be tributes for him and things going forward. And it's so hard. On Saturday when they played the Ty Jordan between the third and fourth quarter, I got emotional.
It gets me every time.
And it really does. It's so awful. And now here we are again. I don't know exactly what they'll do. Obviously, they'll do tributes to Aaron as well. But our team has been through hell. The last few months have been hell. And this is really difficult. It's happening in the middle of season. So anything we can do to boost our team, the coaching staff, the players, everybody, we need to do it, Utah fans.
Would you guys be in favor of them retiring number 22? What's your thoughts on that?
I see it both ways. That was kind of my first thought, was like, well, we just need to retire that number because, you know. Yeah. But then I also understand the idea of honoring both of them by continuing it going. So I yeah. see it both ways.
The thing is there was conversations about retiring it after Ty passed.
Yeah.
And Aaron actually was one of the loudest voices about not retiring the number, about having it be a living tribute to Ty. I agree. I personally think they should retire it. I think that making it something that is special for these two young men that were so excited to be at the U and so much life. And I mean, they just were great guys. I'm in favor of doing it, but I understand having that, you know, it's a special badge of honor that you get to wear number 22 at the University of Utah. So I don't know.
I can go either way. I think it'd be neat though to still have it on the field and playing football. I probably lean more that way, but honestly, it wouldn't bother me at all if they retired it. So Aaron will always be with us. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now we got to start having a little bit more of a conversation.
Talk a little football, I guess.
All right.
Yes.
but anyway, so
I'm going to start with this. I wasn't here last week.
Well, yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. Went to Florida. Humid. Mm-hmm. As all hell. I don't know how people live there, honestly. I walked out of the airport, and I'm not kidding, it was 10:30 at night. I started sweating immediately. It was so freaking humid. And it was only like 80 degrees. It's the weirdest thing. Anyway.
You're dripping.
So, as you guys mentioned last week, we were the victims of some massive trolling when it comes to Cougar Board.
No. Zuby Board. More accurate, it's Zuby Board.
Okay. The amount of people that ripped on you for using the word Zuby was amazing. Hey, well, here's the thing, because I'm sure there are some listening.
That's what they are.
Hold your I was just going to say is welcome all you
welcome
fans and welcome to all the Zuby trolls.
It is the weirdest phenomenon. The amount of
it's good to have you
Zoobs.
Listen to the truth and the truth shall set you free.
Subscribe to A, the podcast, B, to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and then Instagram and Twitter. They didn't just go and do their little throw stuff at us and then leave. They subscribed. It's the weird. So I'm sure they're listening.
Well, we're glad to have you.
So welcome. Now, to all the Ute fans, this was mentioned. Bryn mentioned this. We need you Ute fans to please go and rate our podcast. Over the course of a week, we went from a 4.2 star rating down to a 2.3 star rating.
I wonder
how that
who did
happened.
That? Who was behind that?
So,
the holy ones from
the closet drinkers down in freaking Provo, who holy are ones. Better than all of us because they proclaim it. Just if you're listening to this podcast, please go give us a 5-star. It matters in the analytics of things. But yeah, all of a sudden I get on there and I go, oh man, I hope this didn't happen. I get on, boom, 2.3 star. We went from 14 reviews to, in like 3 days, 43 reviews. The comments are pretty funny. I'll give you that. And we'll go over there. But just welcome to the Zoob friends. You're weird. You guys are weird.
Hey, you know what?
Oh, we got more to say.
I just can't believe it.
All right, let's go on to some Utah football.
Okay, we'll come back to this.
We'll be back to the Zuby board.
I got a lot to say. I got 2 weeks worth.
Wow.
I got a lot.
Hey, Zoobs.
Great.
So be it. Okay.
Welcome to a real team.
Real program.
A real football program.
Let's see. We got a win.
Woo!
And
hey, man.
And it was easy. I didn't stress one time.
A win. We got the win.
Hey.
I mean, what?
We did.
Okay. I just.
Hey, it was
24-13, baby. All it takes to get that first one, huh?
Great fourth quarter.
In the Pac-12.
The rest of the game, meh, not so great.
Well, it depends on the aspect of the game you're talking about.
Okay. Good. Let's say this, though. It was a beautiful day versus our thunderstorm that we had.
It was beautiful, but I got crisped. I forgot to put sunscreen on my pencil.
Oh, that's smart.
Shout out Cougar Board.
That's a
Zuby Board.
Inside Zuby joke.
I'm a pencil neck, which is bizarre.
That's now fried.
I got home.
From Saturday.
I was going to take a shower, and I took my shirt off.
And his pencil neck was red.
My pencil neck, like a perfect line.
Hey, dum-dum, you got to wear sunscreen.
I did. I found somebody that had left sunscreen outside the stadium.
Your Norwegian
That's why
skin.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
Probably... No, I forgot to put it on in this area. Look, can you still see it?
Your dollar store sunscreen.
It said banana boat on it. So I got crisp, but you're right. It was hot as hell. It was hot. But get your bucket hat out and... You get the lady down the row who just keeps spraying people with a squirt bottle.
Yeah. Who was that woman? She's crazy. She's spraying water on everybody.
Hey, it felt good. I had one of those cooling cloths on.
I forgot mine.
You have to be prepared.
I ran to the stadium.
You have to be prepared for all weather-related scenarios.
That was a mistake.
Hey, and Ute fans, you need to tailgate. If you don't tailgate, I mean, you should. It's fun.
It's fun.
Part of the, I mean, sometimes you can, but hey,
this
tailgating is fun. What a beautiful day to be out.
And come see us. We're right off Guardsman. Directly across
good.
From
yeah,
the,
look us up.
Directly
look us up.
Across from the Utah facility. There's some stairs. Walk up. We're right there.
On
You'll
the
see
grass.
The banner.
Hey, I have to say, I was very proud of the Mus and the students for turning out for a 12:30 game.
Absolutely. It was great.
It was way more full than I expected it was going to be. The stadium.
The stadium filled.
It
the
did
stadium
fill
filled.
In, but
and look, I'll give a little bit of leniency on a 12:30 kick.
It was good.
Kids, family, all that sort of stuff. It filled in 90% full. It was pretty good. Beautiful day. And
all
I was
right.
stress-free the whole time.
I didn't sure. say one swear word.
All right, so let's talk about the game a bit.
That's a lie.
That's a big lie.
I
swore before the game started.
Let's go offense first and talk about What's your overall impression, you two, on about the offense? And I mean, we know what the big
look.
We know what the big thing is, but before we talk
before
about
before we
that,
go to the what, elephant,
everything else.
Before we talk about,
I thought it was much like what you guys talked about last week, where when there's tempo involved, the it clicks. It doesn't give the defense an opportunity to sub. It there's just something about the 2 minute drill style offense, the tempo. You don't have to do it constantly, but when there was that tempo in the game, we moved the ball. Overall, I'd probably give it about a C. There was good, there was bad. Rising didn't light it up by any stretch of the imagination. He was efficient. He did not turn the ball over. There was no picks thrown. He had a couple of very big runs. The pass game is still lacking. I mean, it is what it is. I haven't looked at how many actual receptions came with by receivers, but probably like 4 all game. So overall, the offense, I'd probably give a C. And then it goes down from there because of the elephant in the room.
obviously all the hype going into the game was Cam Rising with all of the controversy last week. I think he did fine. I don't think he did amazing. He did overthrow guys in the end zone a couple of times, which was frustrating, you know, wide open in the end zone, and it was overthrown. But he did fine. Average.
I was wrong. We have our see, this pisses me. I will say this. Our receivers had 3 receptions that entire game. Covey had 2 for 8 yards.
What do you mean?
I mean that receivers, not tight. So we got tight ends, wide receivers, running backs. So we throw the ball to our tight ends more than most because they're very good and very talented. But you've got guys on the outside that are very good. Now, I don't know. Maybe they're not getting separation. Maybe the route tree doesn't call for that. Sometimes it's designed to go to a certain guy. 3 wide receiver receptions the entire game is not good enough.
So the formula we heard prior to the season from Witt was he wanted 200 yards of rushing, 300 yards passing. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
That's his formula. Well, I felt like our rushing was fine. But
yeah, we had 212 yards rushing.
I mean, I don't know how you can. Rising did fine. I mean, he did fine, but it's not good enough to win the Pac-12 South that outing. He only threw the ball 23 times, which, you know, he's 13 for 23 for 137 yards. His QBR was 44.5. It's just not good enough. So for me, as far as the overall offense, unless we get more dangerous than this, okay.
Oh, we're in big trouble.
We're in big trouble. Now, I felt like the O-line did a lot better this game. I don't think it was catastrophic. I actually thought they played a lot better than.
I think they did better. Nick Ford still had his issues.
They did.
Dude, Brynn shredding Nick Ford last week.
I'm sorry. Get it together.
I agree with you.
Nick Ford, I like you. Get it together.
But he played a lot better this week.
Pledger, he had 10 carries. He got 117 yards.
Bright spot.
Only 10 carries. He got 117 yards. Well, you know, I don't know. I feel like there were moments there with the rushing game. It was fine. Now, the thing is, overall, yeah, the offense should have done better, but okay. Then the bottom line is, which anyone who went to the game or knows anything about it is, we fumbled the ball seven times. And I think there were 2 others that weren't considered
that probably
fumbles
didn't count
because it was they
went out.
One was after a touchdown and he dropped it.
Jackson scored as he went in. And the ball popped out.
So we had 7 fumbles and we lost 3.
See, how did we win?
So
how do you
win? You don't win games like this.
Game when you lose it 7
because
times.
Because we were so much better. That's the other thing that's frustrating.
Insane.
We were so much better than them.
Well,
7? When's the last time you saw a football game with 7 fumbles?
This is the positive side of it is the fact that
it was unbelievable. I still can't
team hung
it.
In there and we won.
So I got a coworker who former football player, running back at a D1 school. He actually helped coach Utah football last year. Had a conversation with him today about the fumbles. And he said there was nothing about the fumbles that was mechanically or fundamentally wrong. It's not like they were holding the ball out. It's not like they were being careless with the football. It's just weird things happen. Sometimes a guy puts a helmet right on your arm and it pops out, and it just happened so many times. But he did say, he goes, I know what practice was today. He goes, the only thing they worked on today is ball security. And he said, he goes, that running back coach is on the hot seat. Whether they say it or not, that's like that, and especially in the Whittingham offense, ball security, turnovers, that's priority one.
Well, but see, only two of them were running backs. So we had seven fumbles. We lost three of those. But, okay, but Bernard and Curry are the only running backs.
Bernard fumbled the ball three times.
We recovered it, but Thomas fumbled the ball.
Are we sure Thomas fumbled the ball?
I'm 100%.
It's not on here. It was JaQuindon and Britton Covey.
And Bernard fumbled three times.
And Bernard was three times.
Bernard fumbled three times?
I don't think it was Thomas.
Yeah.
And then the one Curry had as he's spinning into the end zone.
It doesn't matter. Look, I'm not going to make any excuses. We fumbled the ball seven times. One time at the 8-yard line by Jackson. Huh? One time at Curry going in.
The first play of the second half we fumbled.
And that's Bernard. He fumbled it.
Gave them seven points.
It was a short field and they scored. There's just in those right there is a swing of 21 points. So as bad as, or as mediocre, I'll say, as mediocre as the offense was, and as if we don't do that kind of stuff, if you're not fumbling, which is basic football, I get there's.
It would have been a blowout.
We would have blown them out and we wouldn't be worrying about it. That is the reason why we didn't blow them out. That's the reason why we could have easily lost that game, obviously. But it's ridiculous. Seven turnovers, three fumbles. Now, on the other side, of course, our D got us three interceptions.
Yeah, let's talk about the positive.
But the offense, you can't fumble, and it needs to become more I feel like it can, but it has to become more dangerous. Or we got no shot. Now, that's why I think the bye week's good. But again, those fumbles, we should have another couple touchdowns easy because we had the 8-yard line. And we're moving the ball. And it's too bad. But that be that as it may, that's the reality of it. We wouldn't be worrying about the offense being crap because we would have had like another 21 points probably.
Pledger was a bright spot.
Very much so.
He played well, and I know that he came in for Bernard.
He got hurt, so we don't know how bad that is. Have you heard?
Bernard got hurt.
Bernard got upper body.
On the fumble,
and we don't know.
He did come back and play special teams later on in the game. Bernard did.
Well, so, football canceled all their media for this week, which is understandable. So we don't have any updates today from Witt's press conference on player status or anything like that, but
Reed, I want to say this: our defense, that was the best defensive effort I've seen a defense play. They were on the field a ton. I am in love with Devin Lloyd.
Give us the poll.
He's a good one to
give us that first poll that we put out some polls.
Devin Lloyd is an absolute beast. It's insane. Hold on, I was unprepared for this.
So we did the. So here I've got it here. So we're going to talk about the defense now. So we put a poll out today for the top position group so far in the season after the four games. And no surprise is linebackers 69%, D-line 11%, secondary got no votes, running back.
A little harsh on the secondary.
Yeah, I don't believe. I mean, but
if you got to pick one,
it's tight end got some votes, 16%, which fair enough. But I guess the point is, and it goes to what you're about to say, I think, is at this point of the season, after four games, that position group, which we all see, seems to be at the top of the list, is the linebackers, 70% almost. I mean, 69%. Well, so
a huge shout out to Reed, who was the linebacker that stepped in. Kasul was hurt, so he missed last game. heard him interviewed, and he said that he spent all week with Sewell going over the plan. But the guy had 7 solo tackles, an interception. And the interception was as Washington State was driving the field. Mm-hmm. He made a great play. He read it. He knew what the route was, backed in. The guy threw it right to his numbers. And the craziest thing about this, that guy's a freshman. He's a freshman that stepped in, played absolutely phenomenal, and then Devin Lloyd just, what can we say?
But for Reed, though, the thing you got to remember, he's a freshman. This was his first game. He led the team in tackles, total tackles.
That's just insane.
So he had total 15, 7 solo, an interception, and 1 tackle for a loss. As a freshman, mm-hmm. his first game.
And a sack.
Yeah.
That is
fantastic game. That's linebacker.
Phenomenal.
That's behind Sewell, who got hurt in San Diego State game, didn't play. So this guy comes in, and this is the game he throws up.
And he has the
most
tackles.
He got an award this week for Freshman of the Week in
Pac-12.
Defensive Freshman of the Week in the Pac-12, I believe is what it was.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Congratulations to him, man. What a game. Mm-hmm. Then Lloyd.
What's crazy is there's actually a number of guys on our team that are kind of in this similar boat where we look at them because they've been in the program for a little while as having been here for a long time. I mean, Clark Phillips, pick 6, Clark Phillips. Huge play. Well, you know this? That was his 8th game that he's ever played at the U. He's still technically... like within his first season. It was only his 8th game he's played.
That's insane.
It feels like he's been here for 4 years. So we still have a lot of youth, a lot of guys who are learning. But I thought the defense stepped up and played.
But Lloyd,
well.
Though, this is the thing. Lloyd got an award this week.
Yeah, he did.
It was like the...
I can tell you. I've got it right here.
You got it?
The Reese's.
Defensive player. Yeah, the Senior Bowl. Defensive player of the week.
That's what it was.
Is Devin Lloyd. And he, so.
The crazy thing about Lloyd, I thought after leaving the game, I thought to myself, well, he has like 4 sacks. He only had 1. But the thing about it is, he made the play in order for then someone else, he put the pressure on the quarterback and then someone else was able to make the sack. He was in there all game long. He was all over the place.
But this is what he had. He had 8 tackles on the day, including a season high 3 for a loss. Tackles for a loss. So 8 tackles, 3 for a loss. But he added that unbelievable interception.
Oh, such a play.
Which was a big thing. Unfortunately, that was one of the fumbles that we did on the 8.
After we
would have gone
ball.
In for a score.
Yeah.
But it was a fantastic play. So Lloyd had another. He didn't lead the team in tackles, but for tackles for loss, it was huge again, and an interception. So
he's
the linebacker
so
core
impactful.
Again was fantastic. Yep. But the D line was outstanding,
unreal.
Man.
Real. We had 8 sacks this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it.
That's pretty good.
That's decent. I mean, 8 sacks. That's outstanding. And gosh, what's it? I don't want to.
Van Fillinger.
I didn't want to.
Van Fillinger, another freshman.
Freshman
had 3 sacks this game.
3 sacks. But you're right, Bryn. It felt like the sacks were being divvied out, and they were. But a lot of it was Lloyd doing something mm-hmm. that forced the quarterback to do something he didn't want to do, and then the rest of the D line.
Yep.
Destroyed him.
Just swarmed in on him.
I mean, there was a hit in this game.
I don't know how that quarterback got up.
Well, he didn't come back in the game.
I know, at the end.
At the end. But
after his helmet popped
off. I felt bad for the backup coming in, and it's 3rd and 20, and we're just teeing off on the guy. But 8 sacks.
But the Pac-12 defensive line player of the week was Van Fillinger.
Freshman.
So our 2 freshmen, this was their first game of, you know.
Pac-12 game. First ever.
They lit it up. Now the whole line, and there's other guys that just played fantastic. I was talking to somebody. He was criticizing our D. I mean, okay, you got to take the whole. You got to take the whole game.
Who was it?
You got to take the game in total.
Do I know him?
You have to take the game.
Yes, that means yes.
In total, from the start to the finish.
Washington State had 106 total yards of offense in the second half of that game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we dominated them.
I can't remember. Did they score in the second? How did they score? They did. Now I can't even
remember. Because of the fumble on like our, what was it, 20-yard line?
Okay, yeah.
So,
that's
they scored.
That's a gimme score.
That was it. They didn't do anything beyond that.
So here's
they
the
had field goals.
Here's the second half. Here's all they had the ball 7 times in the second half. And here's every
give us the analytics.
So this is it's
analytics, Gary.
You want to know, so here's you got to take the whole game in total. As I've said
twice
and three times because so here's the second half of what our defense did to Washington State. Their first possession, which came on our fumble.
Mm-hmm.
They scored a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Then their next possession, they threw an interception. Their next possession, they punted. Their next possession, they punted. Their next possession, they punted. Their next possession, they threw an interception to us for a touchdown. That's Phillips. And then their last possession on downs. Fourth down, didn't make it.
So we handed them a touchdown, and then it was punt, 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 pick six.
And then
six.
We kicked the snot at them for the rest of the half.
And
for 106 yards.
106 total yards.
So in the first half, okay, they what did they get?
Well, they got field goals.
They got a couple field goals.
I did almost pass out with Clark Phillips' pick six because it was really hot. And then when I jumped up and was jumping and screaming and yelling, and then I got really dizzy, so I had to sit back down.
So I told this to Gary. So
it's worth it.
Months ago, I hurt my ankle playing hockey. I went to the boards. I felt something pop.
Oh, nice.
My wife doesn't know. My wife doesn't know this. She's not listening.
Surprise.
So I felt something pop, and I went, okay. It didn't break, so I'm fine. So, healing. Well, Clark Phillips picks the freaking ball off, and he's running right at us. And I'm losing my mind, and I misstepped on the bleacher in front of me, and it went, popped. I re-injured myself.
No, maybe it popped it back in.
No, it did not. It hurt so bad.
Hey.
I re-aggravated an injury off of Clark Phillips' pick six, and it was worth it.
It's all worth it.
It was a beautiful play. Right in front of us.
What if I had passed out? Well, I would have had, you guys would have had to take me to the medical tent.
I wouldn't have taken you anywhere.
That's up to Jesse.
That's your husband's job.
No, he would have just left me there because it was the end of the game and we were celebrating.
Then you just, you can find the lady with the squirt bottle and she sprays you until you're awake.
All right. What about, we have to touch on special teams. Here's a positive though in this game is that we kicked.
Yeah, no.
Here's the positives.
Part of the
of
the positive.
Is that they got no kickoffs with the guy. Our guy,
he put one through the uprights.
He was kicking it out
that
of the end
so
zone.
Awesome.
Big leg, he always has. Fantastic. That's a big help.
That's
that was huge.
We found this out. That's Matt Gay's brother-in-law.
Yeah,
remember when we had Matt Gay?
It is.
Yeah, it's Matt Gay's brother. The all-knowing one told me that on.
Yes, I know who you're speaking
of. So don't doubt it.
The other thing is that Britton Covey set a new record for punt yards. At Utah.
Well, he's been here 25 years.
He's been here since before the Sugar Bowl year. So, yeah.
No, but that's awesome.
You guys are so full of crap. That's a great accomplishment. That's
it's
not
a huge accomplishment.
Most people don't. It's a great accomplishment.
I can't believe Covey. The guy looks like he should be an insurance salesman. And then he's out there just breaking ankles. It's video game Covey. I wish we would use him
more.
We
did. Switch kickers. Am I correct in saying
so
that?
So that's the negative. So Redding missed yet another field goal.
Yeah.
I think that's three or four missed field goals on the year. So it would be safe to say that I don't know if we'll see him again for the rest of the year.
So then we switched.
Yeah, but this other dude, he only came in and kicked extra points. We never had another field goal opportunity. So I don't know anything about him.
Got a big leg. He was kicking off.
He's got a big leg. Who knows what the accuracy is like. So
don't be surprised that he's not the guy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Well, we won.
Hey, we won.
We
and
are 1-0.
I got to admit, okay, we just went over the game, so there was the good and there was the bad. Whatever. We got the win. And what you know, I'm not going to tell people how to be a fan or anything like that, but it's just unbelievable to me that we just get a win in spite of the massive errors that we made. Seven fumbles, we lose three of them, we miss a field goal, stuff like that. Yet our guys did not tank it. They didn't throw in the towel.
They didn't collapse.
All the cliches, they stuck with it, and boom. Good things happened, and we got the win out of it. And that just is, you can build off of that. But instantly, guys are on Facebook page just slamming everything. And it's just, I gotta think that most people are sick of that kind of crap. Yeah. I am.
I'm sick of everyone calling for Whittingham's head. The leprechaun, the end of our row. I don't know if you could hear him.
Did you see the leprechaun going berserk?
No. No.
Losing?
He lost his mind.
His mind. And look, I was frustrated as anybody. I was. Yeah, I get it. It was a frustrating game.
Yeah, at about the seventh fumble, it was.
But he was. He tried to get the chant started. Wake up, Whit. Wake up, Whit.
No.
He started chanting that. He kept just calling for Whit's head. And I'm going, did Whit fumble the ball on the 2-yard line? Did Whit fumble the ball on the 8-yard line? Did Whit fumble the ball and give them the ball? No. I'm pretty sure he's coached them to not do that. Players play.
Yeah, he was losing it.
He was losing it. And I am frustrated with it. I am going to do my very best to make a solemn, I can't say promise.
What? Just spit it out, man.
I'm going to try and take a step back when it comes to my losing it this year. With all things considered that's gone on in this program over the last year,
yeah.
I feel like this team deserves some more leeway.
They do. Some grace.
Okay? They deserve some grace.
And do not boo your own damn team.
That pissed me off.
Utah fans, if you boo, you're
you stupid.
You are.
Do not boo our team.
You don't boo your own team.
I get it. It's frustrating as hell when he misses a field goal from 30 yards.
Look, you put your head down. You put your head in your hands. And you start doing this.
There it is.
Because that's what I was doing.
I did it a lot.
But you don't boo your own team.
You don't boo your own team.
That's what zoobs do.
Period. You just don't. Okay? But from this point forward, I'm going to try and be a little bit more zen with our football program because I feel like they've earned that right to meditate.
Gary's good at it.
I'm zenned out, baby.
Oh, do you sit by him during the games?
Yes, I do.
Is he good?
No, I'm into it, but I'm not like
fumbled.
I wasn't leprechauning it like that. The dude at the end.
Well, he was gonna fight his parents at the end of the game.
And his brother, dude. I thought they had a leprechaun fight.
Dang.
A leprechaun fight.
Anywho.
All right. What are we doing now?
What do we got?
We did some polls. Oh no! First things first. Okay, Ute fans, let's rehearse what. Which we go first? Standings, or
For Pac-12.
Yeah. No. Let's do this. Let's go here first. Here's our remaining schedule. So here we are. Our first game. Here's our schedule. I think you're probably aware of it, but let's just go down it because we're going to talk about how we think we're going to finish up and all that in the South and whatever. We have USC at USC in 2 weeks. Oh, and by the way,
they've announced that.
We'll do that.
Time. No, I'm just
that's
saying.
At 6 p.m.
6 p.m. Mountain Time.
On Fox.
It's great.
It's a primetime game.
Oh, that's so scary.
No, it's not. USC looked so terrible.
Okay, so we got USC.
Scary. It looks so bad.
Then we got ASU back here.
Say it again. Who do we have at home? I'll say it. We have ANSU. Anus.
Hey, this goes out to Glenn.
Shout out
Anus U.
Shout out Glenn.
Even the Zoobies can call him that. It's fine.
They're Anus U. Everyone hates them.
That's in 2 weeks. That's back on October. That's October 16th at the stadium.
Please be there. Please be a 5:30 or a 7:30 game.
Then we have Oregon State.
At Oregon State.
We're at Oregon State.
Corvallis.
And they're starting to look a little bit more dangerous.
Looking not bad. UCLA is home October 30. We're at Stanford on November 5.
I'll be there.
That's a 10:30. No. Let's see. That's Eastern. So that's an 8:30 start.
On a Friday night.
Then we have November at Arizona.
I'll be there.
Oregon Ducks.
Me too. Me.
On November 20. And then Colorado Buffaloes, November 26. Okay. So that's 8 games we have left. That's the lineup. So now we did some polls today. They kind of revolve around that. Well, first of all, maybe this doesn't matter. Yeah, it does, because it will affect. It's in the conversation with these polls, but here's the conference record of the teams. I mean, it's early, but Arizona State is 1-0, UCLA 1-0, Utah 1-0.
So we're in first place in the Pac-12 right now.
USC, this is the good thing, is they're 1-2. They've lost
two games already.
That's insane.
Colorado 0-1, Arizona 0-1. So that's where we're at. Now, the interesting thing coming up in the next game, it's a big game because it's UCLA versus Arizona State, so someone's going to get lost.
That's a big game. I am cheering for.
But then there's USC. If Utah can beat USC, USC's probably
they're done.
They're probably done.
They're done.
I mean, Utah can knock them out of it, and then that would be huge.
Who does USC play next week?
Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Who knows though?
Who knows? They're not
they're
good.
A dumpster so, fire.
Anyway, there's our upcoming schedule, and then there's, you know, the standings in the South anyway. So let's go to the polls.
Okay, I've got it here.
You got?
So I put a poll. How some of you live in such pessimism?
Which one are you going to do?
We're going to do the Utah's final record
our
be?
Our record.
Let me go there. I want to.
So I put options of 10-2, so we win out. 9-3, we lose one more. 8-4, 7-5. I intentionally didn't put 6-6 because I do not believe that we only win 3 more games on the schedule.
Yeah.
So we'll go through. The leader in the clubhouse is 8-4. No, sorry.
No.
7-5.
7-5.
Guys, I know it hasn't been the start of the season that we expected.
That's three losses out of the next 8.
That's 3 more games.
I get it.
Can it happen? Absolutely, it could happen. But
oh yeah, it's not going to be.
Then it's 8-4 with 34%.
Those are close.
They're very close. 9-3, and then 8-2. Now,
10-2.
Sorry, 10-2. For me, I would have to say, if I'm being honest and realistic,
what did you?
I haven't voted yet, but no. I'd say 8-4. I think we lose 2 games.
That was my vote.
That's my vote. I think we win a couple games. I think, but that Oregon game is very scary to me. Then ANSU / UCLA, I think we lose one of those.
/ Oregon State.
If we can come out with 8 games and lose 2 of those games.
Yeah, I feel like that's realistic.
That would be an accomplishment.
Right.
Now, Sam Latt, comment hit 4-8.
How are you
a fan?
That's a Zuby troll. Are you a Zuby troll? Are you?
I mean, come on.
We've had a few.
It doesn't look like
that. Where are we looking at?
In the comments section.
The thing that's strange on your other poll, because it plays along into this, is you said, how's your outlook for the rest of the season? Uh-huh. Is it optimistic or pessimistic? And I believe optimistic won handily in that.
Yeah, well, let's look at it, shall we?
Well, you two are the ones looking it
well,
up.
Well, you're...
Brent's skipping around.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
That's what we're talking about.
I can't find it.
It's right there.
Yeah, 88% of you say outlook optimistic.
How are you optimistic, but then you're like...
4-8.
4-8. 5-7.
He's one of the pessimists.
Well, yeah. He's wrong.
11%. Pessimist.
Sam, I'll tell you what. I'll make you a deal, bud. We go 4-8. I'll buy you dinner. It's on me. How's that sound?
Commiserate together.
Because then you're a prophet, and I owe you.
Okay, bottom line. I mean, how this all connect, I don't know, but... Are we optimistic or pessimistic? I'm glad to see 88% are optimistic.
I'm optimistic.
I think most people are that way.
I think getting back in the win column.
Yeah.
You know who your quarterback is.
I think the glimmers that we saw, obviously, we're now dealing with a lot.
Yeah.
So that plays into it, and I understand if that maybe sways you to the pessimistic column a little bit, but
I understand that.
I think hopefully it's just going to bring our guys even closer together. It's going to make them want to play harder for Aaron, for Ty, all of those things.
So the defense.
I am optimistic.
It's starting to gel a little bit better at this point.
Who's going to win the South is the other poll.
Give me the results here. I haven't looked at it.
Okay, so here's the poll results.
I put ANSU, Utah, UCLA, and USC.
So 50% said Utah will win the South. 39% UCLA. Ain't us you at 6% and USC at 3%.
USC, I think, unless something miraculous happens, I think they're done.
Well,
UCLA.
They have no margin of error.
They have no margin of error. I don't know what to make of UCLA yet.
They're good.
I think they're good.
They're a good team.
We get them at home. That'll be very nice.
I mean, of course, on this, I want to vote for Utah. But I also...
What did you do? Let's ask. What did you vote for?
I don't think I voted on you this one. Because it
why?
Was...
Okay, no. What'd you vote for?
Utah.
He voted Utah.
Absolutely.
Well, of course. We're Utah football fans.
We're going to win it.
Okay.
I think we win it.
Okay.
I think we're gonna grind each other up.
Yeah, it's not gonna.
But
be
I think we're coming out on top, baby.
I think we come out on the South.
I do think UCLA at some point is gonna lose.
UCLA is notorious for losing to Arizona.
They might lose to ASU weird. This weekend.
ASU, USC's gonna pull. USC's gonna beat some
that's
teams.
That's what the Pac-12 does every year.
I'm just saying we got to be on top of the carnage.
Yeah. Well, we have to 8-4 minimum. Otherwise, I mean, two losses in conference, you can still win the South. It's going to be tiebreaker stuff, all that weird crap, but it can happen.
We're just getting started. Isn't this weird? I feel like we've been playing this season for 5 months.
Yeah. It's
and yet we're just getting started.
We're we've one only game into the Pac-12.
One conference game.
The season started on, I mean, the, realistically, honestly, the season started on Saturday.
Well, yeah, we're 1-0.
We're 1-0. Everything else all before right. that was irrelevant.
You hear
that's
that? True.
Absolutely.
Do you hear that?
Zuby Board, do you hear that?
You put that out. It was irrelevant because
it was. They already know that.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We did do it is not a football related question, but it's about Rice-Eccles Stadium and the climate at the stadium. Meaning, here's the question. Do you approve of the music played at the games? From start to finish. And
no.
I got to say, I cannot believe this. Is that 62% voted yes, they approve, and only 37% said no. What are you listening to?
I don't know. Are you 97 years old?
Yes.
I'm telling you what. It's horrible.
First of all, I'm tired of having this conversation. We bitch about this every year. But please get better. Get better. It's not hard. I spent 8 minutes of my day today and came up with a playlist that I guarantee is vastly superior to the garbage that was played at Rice-Eccles Stadium.
Here's what it is. You go to any other sporting event anywhere, and even, guess what? Even down in Provo.
Yeah.
They play better music than Rice-Eccles Stadium
does.
It's
so bad.
And that shows you how bad we are.
It's so bad.
Exactly. It's horrible. You go to any other sporting event, and then you come to Utah games, and I feel like I'm 85 years old.
It's embarrassing.
And what it is, it's not... I mean, it is the song selection, but more than anything, it's... We had a interception. We had a huge play. We have the moment of loudness for Ty Jordan. The crowd is up here, and then they play a freaking song that just takes the energy and goes...
Sucks it down.
And they it literally, all dies.
Ooga chukka.
Yes. So,
that's what I think about
careful.
It.
Careful.
Oh ooga chukka.
So, moment of loudness, right? Emotional.
Yeah.
The place every single person in Rice-Eccles is standing and cheering as loud as they can.
Oh, clapping.
Boom, and it's going into the fourth quarter. That needs to be followed by AC/DC or Metallica.
Hype.
Or freaking Tool. Instead, I'm standing there going, and I hear, ooga chukka, ooga, ooga, ooga chukka. That's what they play. And I felt the stadium go.
You do. You feel it.
Yeah. The song.
And they do it for the 7 people that are obsessed with dancing to get on the Jumbotron. I'll dance to freaking Slayer if you play it.
Okay. Let me. Oh,
it's so
funny.
Bad. It's
There's some good
so
comments bad. Here that I'm in complete agreement with. Let's see. This is funny.
Hey, get the beep button ready.
For the love of please stop playing. Don't stop believing. That's some BYU it.
You added that little part.
No.
No, it says it.
I know, but
look, I totally agree.
Totally agree.
Well, you hate
Bon Jovi's garbage. Journey,
okay, so now this is where I don't stop. Okay, this guy's got to be 1,000 years old. Always too loud.
It's not loud.
Oh, what? Somebody said that? Yeah.
And then I think
that's my other complaint. Another. Turn the volume.
Oh my gosh.
Read it.
It's not too loud. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's not loud enough.
It needs to be much louder.
It needs to be on 10, please, for those moments.
And can we please, we are not Boston.
Yeah, that's got to go.
Sweet Caroline.
That's got to go.
Has to go. This is a football game in the state of Utah. This is not a baseball game in Boston. It has to go. It is a... First of all, it's a terrible song. It's a terrible song just in general.
1970?
It's an awful song with no hype to it whatsoever.
Okay, the song's...
Hype it up. Hype it up.
Even the players are on the field going, I can't stop this.
No. Hype it up.
Can you see the lineman going, ooga chucka, ooga chucka.
No. Sweet Caroline.
Give us the hype.
That is about as cheesy... That it's is cheese stuff.
It's so bad.
Cheese what?
Cheese it. I like Cheez-Its. I'm just saying.
It's bad. Whoever people.
Whoever at Rice Eccles, I created a playlist. It took me 3 minutes of my life.
Call him.
Call me. I will share it with you. And play it. And let's just see.
Tweet at Mark Harlan, please.
And that little knob that says volume.
Please
take it off three.
And at least put it to 7.
No. That's got... When it's time for some energy and some feel, put that baby on 8, 9, or 10. Then take it down. That's fine.
That's fine. I'm with you. You can manipulate that knob a little bit. Like, you can go louder.
Manipulate it.
You can manipulate.
Just give us hype. Just, come on.
It's not hard.
No.
Not every song has to be like Rage Against the Machine.
No, you have a variety.
You have a variety of
genres.
How
about genres. K. Scott?
Yes. Thank you. That's what I said. Why can't we play
Kenneth Scott music?
The song that we start our podcast with, why can't that be played in the stadium?
Absolutely.
Play that between the third and fourth quarter.
He's got other sounds, man. Put them out.
A couple of songs that are freaking awesome.
Crank it up.
If you want to play a sing-along.
Oh, I'm so mad right now.
Play it. Dude. Play it at halftime. Reserve the sing-along wedding.
The crap at halftime.
The wedding DJ, whatever crap you want to do. Do it at halftime. When it's the game and we are hyped. It's
3rd and 6.
Play.
And our defense is out there and it's the chicken song comes on because. Yeah.
It's just. It's ridiculous.
It's so stupid.
I hate it. Anyway, you guys are all wrong.
You're all wrong. I seriously cannot believe that that's the direction that the poll went.
Me either.
I am too. I'm surprised. Disappointed in you, Utah fans.
I am too.
I just thought I'd bring this out just for good old.
Just win, baby.
Because we know a lot of Ute fans are Raiders fans.
They should be.
Are. If you're not, you should be. Let's see. Chiefs fans, 1-2. Yeah, Raiders 3-0. Okay.
Look, if you want
Broncos fan. Oh wait. They're 3-0 too.
If you want to raise your blood pressure and give yourself even worse heartburn. Just become a Raiders fan.
But here's the thing.
Because it always comes down to the last play.
Baby.
Two overtime wins this year. Now,
it all comes down to the last
play.
They
also have my true man love at quarterback that I can't stop staring at. And
I
so.
No, I don't get it.
You are an idiot.
Okay.
I don't get it. The eyeliner.
No, I want to talk about this.
We need to move on.
I don't get it. We can talk about it.
He's growing his hair out.
We need to move on.
Derek, I know you listen.
We need to move on. Go Raiders, by the way. Didn't.
For those not watching, we're talking about the
join become
Las
a citizen
Vegas.
Of the Raider Nation.
That's true. They don't know.
Huh?
Never mind. Everyone listening didn't know you just held up the Raiders.
A Raiders helmet, and that's what he knocked.
Oh
on.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's what I.
It's a podcast.
That's true.
But we said go Raiders. So
go Raiders. So you
get
got
the point.
It. Yeah, it's a mini Raiders helmet for those listening on the radio. Okay, it's time to present the award, and as we said last week. We're going to, because we've soiled the ears of some people, and they're very offended by
very
it.
Very offensive.
I don't know. We're going to make a name change, but there's for good reason.
So soft.
Thank you.
How
do we go there? But
But before we go there, because this is sort of a prelude to it,
I've brought some visuals.
Okay. Again, we're a podcast.
It's only for those watching for on YouTube.
Which, by the way, most of our subscribers are actually Zoobs, so they're going to be the ones watching.
Zoobies, you're why
on YouTube.
This is for the YouTube Zoobs, mainly Zooby board pretty trolls, faces. To the Zooby board trolls, and those on listening will tell them what it is. So I'm just going to throw up. Here's a number. You can see that Zooby
the number of the day.
Zooby board.
It's a nine.
Is a nine for those listening.
Okay.
Here's another number.
Wait, let Pencil Neck hold it.
Pencil Neck hold that. That's nine. And here's another number for the Zoobs.
Give me hey, Bryn, which number is significantly bigger?
So,
this one. Number nine.
Number
is
nine.
Bigger.
Okay, here it is. Let me just say this. Nine and one.
That's out of the screen.
In the last, more than decade, 12 years, last 10 games, Utah has won nine.
Okay.
Zoobs have won one, mm-hmm. which was just a couple of weeks ago.
So enjoy the one.
Woo! Enjoy way it. To go. But in more than a decade, the record between Utah and the Zoobs is 9-1. Okay. Okay. There's that.
Next visual.
Wonderful
now
visual
we're talking
aid.
In more than the last 15 games, so I think it's 16 or 17 years. Hold this number. There's an 11.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And there's a 4. Mm-hmm. Utah has won 11 games of the last 15. The Zoobs have won 4. Again, dominance. Just
one is bigger than the other.
One is and we dominate.
Okay.
And so if we even go for
see, here's
two and a half decades. Okay, I'm going to 2.5 decades.
I want to say we've talked about this before. But these people are so dense that we needed to bring visuals along.
And I have to
along.
Break through.
You have to, they got to follow the bouncing ball a little bit. We got to bring visuals into it. So no, put this out there, please.
In 2.5 decades.
Zoobies, that's 25 years.
This is 25 games. It's actually like 26 or 27 years. Utah's won 17 games.
That's a pretty big number.
And the Zoobs won 8.
Again, one is bigger than the other.
So the bottom line is, and this is how this is what has happened. And I
alligator wants to eat the bigger.
And I understand. Once in a while, little brother beats big brother.
Hey, it happened.
And little brother becomes all obnoxious and crazy,
and threatens employment,
and goes nuts, and is running around like a fool, and dancing on the sidelines like the dancing Kalani, and all that kind of stuff. Because little brother, little brother just beat big brother. But everyone knows big brother steals. The dominant
still the
force,
key.
And we are. So good job on getting that one victory. Utah's still the team, and we all know it.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Cougar Zooby board. I'm sort of upset because some guy called me 65 years old.
How dare he?
And he was off by a couple of years. I mean, if you're going to call me an old man, at least get your age right, please. The other thing is someone made fun of my hat being turned around and some criticized my style. So in honor of that loser who's probably subscribed to our YouTube.
He's listening.
That Zoob, I'm going to wear this now forever. And as long as you're going to, all those Zoobs are going to watch it.
Again, thank you for watching.
Thank you for watching. But
it's bizarre.
I'm going to keep this style. Here's the other thing for all the Cougar Zooby boarders. Trolls that are out there. I did look at the analytics, particularly on YouTube, because it shows the age of those. You would think of the thousands and thousands and thousands of trolls.
We have 4,500 people watch this video.
That trolled us from Zooby Board. Mm-hmm. You would think it would be the 20-year-old, the 23-year-old,
no.
The 25-year-old.
No.
Even the 26-year-old, maybe. No, the analytics say that it was basically 35-year-olds is the median.
It was 35 and to like 45.
Above. Were the trolls.
Were the people who have 3 kids.
Okay, so.
They own their own,
well,
practice of some, a medical practice.
Maybe. Here's.
You're giving them a lot of credit.
This is the way. So these 35-year-old Zooby trolls. Now, you're either a loser sitting in your basement. Instead of getting married and raising a family, or if you have a family, hey, at 35 years old, I don't think you should be trolling a Utah football fan podcast. I think you need to go help your wife put the kids to bed and get out of the basement. Just saying, okay?
You couldn't pay me enough to watch a BYU podcast, but whatever. If that's what
I understand
do,
why they want to watch us. I think we're great.
We're pretty good.
That's why they want to watch. Oh, okay. We're talking the truth.
That's great.
Yeah. They want to see what Big Brother's doing.
So
true.
We've renamed the award because we're sorry that we offended you so badly.
Yeah, no longer the... So the award now is called the Jackass Award in honor...
It's the...
So in honor of Cougar Board, Zuby Board trolls, those... Anyway, it's now called the Jackass Award.
Sponsored by Cougar Board.
Sponsored.
Thank you.
The Zuby Board. Thank you so much for that. So now the award is now the Jackass Award. Bryn, who gets the Jackass this
Can
week?
I also just real before we get into
I
it?
I did a drum roll and everything.
We've been doing the push the button award. For 3 years.
3 years, people.
This was not a new invention for us. We've been doing it for 3 years. We've given that award to just about everybody. In fact, tonight's winner has probably won it 6 times.
I think he has.
No, he's won it a couple times.
So this is not like...
Because he's...
He deserves it, and you'll probably agree with me when you hear it, but it's like...
No, not this.
Yeah.
Not Zuby Board.
Well, maybe not. But I'm going... This isn't a new concept. We've been doing this for 3 years. You just happen to not agree with our nominee.
No, it's because we talked about their coach.
Oh, their special little coach.
Their precious coach. Okay. But it's fine. Okay. Moving on.
The Jackass.
Jackass Award is...
Gordon Monson.
Yeah, see? Everyone knows.
Mr. Jackass himself.
Yeah, he's the king of the jackasses.
And why is he getting the Jackass Award this week, James?
Because he decided that it would be a phenomenal idea to write an article titled Utah, the place where quarterbacks go to die. Hmm. Wow, Gordon.
And let's just say that came out last week. It was insensitive then, and now how do you feel, Jackass Monson?
Yeah, I don't know how that title passes
editors,
the level.
The Tribune,
honestly. And how tone deaf do you have to be to write something titled that? You can write an article about our quarterback situation that doesn't involve the word death.
The article, I read it, and you know, thing is, Jackass Monson hates Utah.
He hates Utah.
He was after Witt when the coach changed. Remember all that fiasco?
Oh, yeah.
His sources?
His
hashtag
contract.
Sources.
Oh, yeah.
Renegotiation, saying he's gone because my insider sources told me that Whittingham is gone. Well, he hates Witt. He doesn't like the program. He's worthless. I never listened to the guy ever because...
I don't know anybody that listens to that trash show, by the way.
So anyway, the article was not only insensitive, it was full of crap. Even just the stuff he was saying about Utah and its quarterback. So yes... Gordon Monson, again, I can't even remember over the years how many he's got. I think it's like around 3, but he gets the Jackass
But award. It'll go on his shelf with his previous awards. So this is a new award that he gets.
Yeah, sort of.
It's the same.
So same yeah. Award. So good for him. Yeah.
I just...
Jackassery.
I can't even... Like, yeah, he just is... He just... Whatever.
Well, okay, we've got a bye week. Comes at a great time.
Yeah, it does.
I'm going to be at a Texas A&M football game this weekend.
Well, la-di-da for you.
So I'm but I'm excited because...
Who do they play?
Missouri, I want to say.
Don't care. It'll be fun, man.
But I get to see the 12th man in action and all that stuff. And I guarantee you, they play hype music.
You know what? Do me a favor.
Record some of it.
Yeah. Take some notes on what they play.
I will.
And let's see if they play Sweet Caroline.
I'll freaking send it to Mark Harlan myself.
Mark, all right. You're a listener. Just listen to us. We are the fans.
Go Utes. Prayers to Aaron Lowe's family.
Yeah.
Prayers to our Utah football team, staff, players, everybody. We got to stick together on this, Utah football fans.
Yep. Go Utes.
Go Utes.
Yeah. Ready? Let's get it. I'm telling you why. You can see in their eyes, them boys ain't playing, they ready to ride. Shaking the tunnel, just screaming and yelling. If you ain't ready, you get eaten alive. Taking the field with loads of passion. Swagging out with the flyest fashions. Cameras out and they steady flashing. Captains out, we about to get it cracking. Full of crashing in between those lines. You boys, we about to ride. We're a band of brothers and we stick together like an army mission when it's wartime. We stacking them W's, pay attention. Opponents coming
this song
with
will be so good. We stay on top of our division. We're from BTS buses to play. I mean, just listen to it. Between the third and fourth quarter, everyone. Oh my gosh! And he's one of ours. And he's a former player! Okay. Harlan.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.